Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law that I cover on television to talk about something a little easier on the brain, and that is the world of theater and performing arts. And today, we've just got this classic Chicago treasure. Well, I guess you have to say Seattle treasure and other cities too, but it's in Chicago. It's been here for years, and if you haven't seen yet Teatro Zanzani, it is time that you do. And I get to talk to two of the stars of this show. It's an ensemble show, but if you're going to pick out some people who kind of stand out, these are the two who probably stand out with all due respect to everybody else in it. Let me introduce you. First of all, if you are a fan of The Voice, then you know Soraya. Because am I right, Soraya? I know you worked with Alicia Keys. Were you able to give her some tips and pointers on her own singing in that show?
Oh, my God. I did.
Your voice is amazing.
Thank you so much, my dear. I worked with Alicia for the majority of the season. I worked with Miley Cyrus to start with, but Alicia took me on for the majority of the season, and that was just such a surreal and amazing experience, to say the least.
Yeah, were you at her house? Did you do some of that with her? It looks like you're at their homes when you do that.
No, we were at Universal Studios, so I get to spend a lot of time with her, but it was there.
Okay. Do you have her cell phone number? Can we call it?
I actually do, but we can't call her.
I was just trying. I think Carissa wanted to. And also joining us, I love it, is Carissa Hendricks, who you will meet in Teatro Zanzani as Lucy Darling, a character. Now, you know, there's a different look. Right now, Carissa looks a little bit different than Lucy. So clearly, Carissa, it is a character for you.
Yeah, I should hope I look different than Lucy. It's when they first called me to do the show, they were like, can you send me your measurements for costumes? And then I sent them without thinking. And then I had to send another email that said, oh, just so you know, you want Lucy's measurements. They're different measurements. We have different measurements. We're different heights, which none of them make sense because we're using the same human.
Well, you're a magician, so of course it makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm using a lot of drag queen tricks, not magician tricks to pull that off.
And by the way, people, if you look familiar to people here, it's because, well, both of you should look familiar. Soraya, because by the way, you are a Chicagoan, right? You've never been giving up your roots here.
I have not. And I don't know that I ever will. But, you know, I am definitely here in Chicago, born and raised.
Well, there are a lot of John Mahoney. There's a lot of, you know, big stars who Chicago is their home, was always their home. And they just make things happen here. So thank you for doing that. And Carissa, although I think Vegas is a primary home for you. Is that right?
I kind of don't live anywhere at the moment. Once I got my visa for the United States, I was like, okay, now I can pick a place to live in America, but it's just been contract to contract. But I would say I'm in Vegas the most.
But people seeing you here, you've been at the Rhapsody Theater, you've been at the Chicago Magic Lounge. So clearly Chicago is pretty important on your agenda.
I love it here. I mean, Chicago has a long and beautiful history with magic. For years, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, it was like the center of magic for the world. It was incredible. And so the energy of that is still here. And so as a magician to come into Chicago and perform for audiences that really know magic, I mean, these are some of the most magically educated audiences in the world. So you got to step up your game. They get it. It's so fun.
Yeah. My understanding is that Chicago is where close-up magic began.
That is correct. Yeah. Marshall Brodeen, all of the little bar magic shows downtown. And there is a direct line from that start here in Chicago to the Chicago Magic Lounge to these new venues, right? Like an uninterrupted history. If you go to the lounge, you can walk around and you see the artifacts of the Chicago history of magic.
Well, in fact, you can not only do that, but if you get to know Joey, the owner, he'll take you to a different building next door like he did with me and show you some other artifacts that go back to the Chicago Fire and some really cool things.
Whether you want them to or not.
Right. All right. I run into Joey wherever I am. I'm saying, what'd you bring with me? Anyway, so Soraya, we're talking about Teatro Zanzani right now. And I've seen, I don't know how many times I've seen the show, more than half a dozen. I mean, because the good news is, although it's been here for years, it's undergone change and it shifts because it's not just something that you see once and don't come back. You come over and over again. And Soraya, in this particular show, there's always kind of this master voice. I'll use the word voice because you know the word voice. There's always a master voice in this show. And so Lady Rizzo was one of the first. There's just been some great people. But I got to tell you, your voice blew me away. And I'm like, well, now I see why she's doing this, aside from your appearance on The Voice. You're absolutely amazing. Can you tell, for folks who have not seen the show yet, tell them a little bit about this version. This one was put together by Joe DePaul, who actually appeared here in the early days of Teatro Zenzani. I love Joe. And so funny. But talk to people. What are they in for when they come see Teatro?
Okay, first of all, thank you so much. I feel very delighted to hear such kind words. I have no money to give you for saying those things.
No, they're sincere, so you don't need to.
Thank you. However, Joe DePaul, he's such an amazing, he's a comedian himself.
Yeah.
And to say amazing is just, you know, that's the least to say about him. I think that what he did with this particular production is allowed for what we all do to be highlighted very well. So my character as Madame Zenzani, being the woman who is the owner of the tent and the one who established the establishment, I think that he allowed room for me to kind of, you know, as a vocalist, I don't know that the vocalist before has ever like really acted as much as what we're doing. My character is doing.
No, they had their numbers. They had their numbers.
Yeah, they had their numbers. So like for me, he allowed for room for me to stretch out and to like, you know, Lucy Darling and I really have like a long banter throughout the entire show. And it allowed for me to kind of stretch and spread my wings as an actress, not just the vocalist, you know. And so I think that's the fun part for me, is that I get to do what I do. And I get to add other things that I've done, which is acting, into this and bring such, you know, magic to the space, along with the literal magic that Lucy Darling brings, with not just her magic, but her charisma and character and all of the sass and all of the glam. You know, I think that we both kind of have been able to play off one another and bring a different element to Teatro Zenzani this season.
You know, and there in prior to this time, there has been somebody in those shows who've been sort of the traditional MC of the show,
yes.
I think kind of centered around him and all of that. But Carissa, here, when I came into it, I expected you were going to be sort of that MC person. It's hard to say you're not, but I think Soraya says it best. It's really a position split between the two of you. You both. And of course, you have so much interaction with each other. So I do want you to tell me about, we're going to talk about your role, Lucy Darling's role. But first, tell folks who else, because, you know, when you come to the Spiegel tent, when you come to the Cambria Hotel on the 14th floor, it's not just about your singing and your magic. That sounds fairly traditional. This show's a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have an incredible band that's backing us up the whole time. Just seriously, some of the most unbelievable musicians I've ever worked with. And I'm an improviser in the show, and they are underscoring everything I do. So not only are they exceptional, they're also rolling with me. Like, I'm at the point now with those people where I feel like we're just one entity. Like I say, they're like picking up the energy of a punchline I haven't yet delivered, and this is something they've never heard. They're incredible. We've got Ulzi, who's from Mongolia, this incredible contortionist who's also got this unbelievable like acting chops. She's a cat throughout the show. She's really committed to that character. It's sensational. You've got Michael Van Beek, also known as Michael Evolution, who's this incredible basketball juggler. And it's, you know, I think we've seen juggling. We know what to expect from juggling. This is not that. This is something completely different. And also fantastic acting throughout the show, right? People are not just doing their acts. They're also these fully, you know, committed characters. Leah Hinz is incredible. I'm really enjoying working with her because we've added some little pops of magic to her piece and evolved it a little bit. That's been super fun for me because I've never been in a position where it's like design a piece of magic, but also make it so that it's safe for an aerialist to use.
Yeah.
That's a whole new struggle. Had no idea that was coming. You've got Danila Bim, who basically invented modern hair hanging independently. Like before her, modern hair hanging, you see it all the time now. It started with her. So
people
we have
don't know what hair hanging is. It is what it sounds like.
It is what it sounds like. She is hanging from her hair. And I mean, I gotta tell you, we've seen this show 50 times. I watch her act every night. I watch Leah's act every night. I watch these act. That's when I should be taking a break. I don't. I watch everything. I watch Soraya do Rolling in the Deep every single night. It's like, I cannot get sick of this. And every night when I see Danila, I think her scalp is going to rip off her head. It's never stops being terrifying. And then you have Cassie and Oliver, who are this incredible dynamic duo, trapeze act. But also, Cassie is doing her own solo comedy set for the first time. This is her first time doing it. You'd never know. It looks so polished. She's so perfect in that character. And Oliver is this, like, I mean, it's really great because the show is very feminine, very feminist. And he's sort of our beefcake in the show. Mm-hmm. But what people don't realize is he's got, like, a master's degree, a doctorate. Like, he's also just, like, genuinely the smartest person in the
room. Yeah, but when his shirt comes off, nobody really cares at that.
Yeah, we're like, nah, he's a beefcake. So it's just, it's an incredible cast, and it's only if you really like, in terms of cast, obviously we have the band and we have the team, but there's just eight of us, and like, you shouldn't be able to pull off a show like this with eight people. It's
for close to 2.5 hours, and by the way, we need to say, and there's dinner, so not only are you watching this incredible show for 2.5 hours in this historical Spiegel tent, as it's called, but you get to the Cambria Hotel and you think you're at the I was going to say the Holiday Inn, but I don't mean it that way. The point is, you just think you're at some hotel, and you get up to the 14th floor, and then magic, right? You're like, whoa, what happened on this floor as you enter this historic? I think there's only six of them. I interviewed Norman years ago, and I think there's only six of them in the world.
Yeah, that's correct.
We've got one of them here, so it's just totally amazing. Soraya, when people ask me to describe this show, I sort of say, well, it's circus meets Cirque du Soleil. But I kind of want to add to that, because none of those descriptions seem to do it justice. How do you describe it when a friend says, "Oh, what is this show?"
Okay, that's a very good question, because that's the thing that I, from the very beginning, I said, how do I explain to people who have only seen me perform, and they've seen me perform theater long ago, but they've seen me perform live all the time. I don't know how to explain to people, like, what are you? You almost have to come up with a magical, you know, term for it. But it's literally, I would say, theatrical circus production is what I call it, because there is more to it than just circus. It's a production. It's a situation where people have had to put minds together to bring forth a storyline that makes sense within all of the things that are happening, the acrobats, the from the song to the song selections to all of these things. So I just put in one lump sum as a theatrical circus production, and that's all I got.
Well, and by the way, let me follow up. It's a follow up with each. Go ahead. You look like you want to say something, Carissa. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think the thing that people have said to us the most that I think sums it up perfectly, because I mean, obviously for us it's a different experience, because we were part of the creation process. We birthed this thing together, which was wonderful. And that's one of the best things about working with Joe DePaul, is he did such a good job of making everybody feel included and everyone's voice was heard. And so for us, we have like a different perspective of it. But people who come back all the time say is that at the end of the show, when you walk out into the street, and you are confronted with the loop, you're shocked, because you have been transported to this other universe, to this fantastical place where magic is real. And this room is real. And all of the things we're saying are real. And and you don't even realize how seduced you have been by this space, this beautiful tent and this beautiful voice and these incredible artists and the way everybody commits to their character, until you walk out into the street and you hear the trucks drive by. And then you're like, oh gosh, I'm still in Chicago. I forgot. And that's really what it is. It is a complete escape. It is a vacation where you do not have to get on a plane.
And I'm just gonna say, you know, the tickets are like a little over $100, whatever, and sometimes really $100. Well, first of all, point to me a show you can go to that about that price, and then secondly, add in this sort of pretty gourmet meal with a salad course and options of your full course. I had some sort of a short ribs or something the night I was there, but I've had salmon, all sorts of things. The dessert course. I mean, so when you add that all together, it's kind of a deal for going to this thing. And the good news is it's also for the whole family. Carissa, the night that I was there, I want to see if you remember this or if this is typical. Because I don't remember the names of the people you picked in the end, but you do a shtick where you need a couple of people in the audience and you have them play characters. But the night that I was there, the two people you picked were so funny, you were cracking up, and at one point said, it doesn't usually go this well. Do you remember that night, or is that
common? I do. Yeah. So what I will say is that it's always special, because it's always different. And sometimes it's special because those people are like an older frisky lady and a young man. And sometimes it's special because they're two people who clearly don't want to be on that stage, and they're just being brave. And like the night you saw it, they both transformed into those people. Like, I give them characters, but they get to decide how much they play. And for me, it's fun because every single night, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea. I walk out on that stage every night going, well, who knows? And, you know, Oliver and Cassie and Leah and I sort of pick people together. We meet people. I shouldn't even say this because it's like insider secrets. But
oh, we want this. That's what this is about.
Yeah, we have time to meet people, right? Because we do the walk around and we introduce. And together, when we're standing backstage, we talk about, like, for whom would this opportunity be special? Like, for whom in this room would they stand on that stage and get to do those little bits that you saw that we don't want to give away? And they would go, they would talk about it with their family for 10 years. And I think the night you saw it was one of, like, probably my top six, where it was just great. Like, it's like, when it's that good, I am the spectator. I'm the audience.
And you know, we love it. It's kind of like when you watch the Carol Burnett show yes. Tim Corman, Harvey Corman and Tim Conway would laugh on stage. You laughed at home because you love seeing them break up. So that night where you were laughing, I just have to say I loved it because I knew you were getting a kick out of it. And that adds so much to it. And you didn't pick me that night, which means they were much better than me. And I understand that.
You just seemed like you were in a thinky mood. We just let you.
Yeah, I'm always cerebral. I'm the cerebral guy. Sheree, you know, you mentioned this before about the song, so I was curious about this. Do you pick? You say, "Here's what I want to sing," or does Joe DePaul say, "Sheree, these are the kind of numbers you should do"? How does that work?
Well, it starts as sort of a collaborative space with this as far as the song selections. However, something that has to be taken into consideration is like the acts that are. So you have the aerial act.
Yeah,
they come with their songs, you know, with what they. So I kind of have to fit into the space that they need me to fit into because I'm there.
Because sometimes you got to do something for them.
I have to. Like, I mean, really, Rolling in the Deep is probably the love song that I selected, right? And I just really crap shot with that. It's just like, oh, you know, there's Rolling in the Deep. And they're like, oh, that could be good, right? There's a lot that I put out there that did not get used because we were still in the creation process. So as we're creating, like, you can have ideas of what you want to do, but as we're creating, you have to kind of make sense of the storyline. So a lot of what I did select, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't able to be used because it had to fit what was, you know. So basically, we collaborate based off of what is necessary for the artists who are performing acrobats and then everything else surrounding that. So yeah.
Is there a song you're not doing that one day you hope will get added in? Maybe Norman will watch this. So let's put that out there. What song do you wish you were doing?
You know what? So Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You," right?
Yeah.
That is a song that I selected that I was supposed to do for. And you all are really getting the behind the scenes right here. You're behind the curtain, okay? You know, so that was a song that I selected for the moon scene, you know, but we had to kind of consider whether or not people would be able to dance to the song, you know, because that's really a moment for people to become intimate with one another and dance. And we just have a magical moment in the tent. And so At Last happened to be the song that was most fitting for that. But I Will Always Love You was I've sang it live. I did a little tribute to Whitney Houston during one of my shows, and I sang that song and it was like the room stood still. You know, unfortunately,
now, there's nothing wrong with Etta James, by the way.
There's nothing wrong with an Etta James song, but the room stood still for that, you know. But for this, we don't want people to stand still. We need people dancing. So, so that was a song. That would be a song that I'd say, you know, yeah, I would love to sing that or to, you know, have that as part of the repertoire.
Okay, Norman, if you're watching, get to it. In fact, Carissa, hand Sheree your microphone. Let's do a couple of bars of that.
Here you go.
So, Carissa, because you, I mean, there is a character that you do, Lucy Darling. What transforms in you to become, I mean, you've already said your measurements change. I know that. So, I mean, when you become Lucy, like if I'm backstage and I'm talking to you, are you Lucy or like, no, it's Carissa. I'm just in costume.
Sheree, what do you...
No, if she's in that costume, darling, she is Lucy. There's no chance of a Carissa being in the room. If she's in that costume, in that wardrobe, this is who she is, darling. You're getting the accent. You're getting Lucy, darling.
Carissa, talk to me about what it takes to get ready for you.
So it's about an hour and a half of makeup and costume. There's like full, like it's transformative. It's very drag queen. It's like the whole shape of the body changes, the posture changes. You're like, I cannot wear any of Lucy's costumes. I don't fit in them. None of them. We are different. And it's in a way that's such a gift that I've given myself, because when I'm Lucy, I can be in character and I can be this really real thing for the audience. And then when I'm me, I'm invisible. And so like Lucy very much is this real thing. One of the things that has been really, I've talked to a few people about this, who've seen my career over the last 6 years and then come and seen the show here at Zanzani. And one of the things people are saying the most is that like Lucy has never been more real, because she was always meant to be this like caricature, this over the top thing. But because the space of Teatro Zanzani is so intimate and so like real, like we really do seduce you into this space, into believing the realness of it, even though it's still clown, even though it's still over the top. It has, as an actor, it has forced me to find more realness in what Lucy's doing. And one of the things that's been so fun with Soraya in our moments is like, we got these lines and we got to like write these lines together when we started out, right? These weren't necessarily handed to us. I mean, a few were, but for the most part, we got to decide what we were going to say. And as the show has evolved, we tweak a little thing, remove a little thing, or we say it a little different. And it's been such a pleasure to like, they're the same words, but they feel so different now than they did 2 months ago. And it's been, as an actor, like such an incredible joy. So yeah, so it's been lovely to like, you know, get transitioned into being Lucy for the show. And then that's part of why I don't often stand by the bar and talk to people for too long afterwards, because I gotta tell you, it's rough being in character for 3 hours.
Carissa, I'm not surprised the night that I was there and I didn't get to meet you. I thought, yeah, because you, first of all, if you came out as Carissa, we might kind of wonder, where's Lucy Darling, right?
Yeah.
So that's a different thing. How did you create the character of Lucy Darling?
So I have done character work for my entire career. I had a kids show character named Dee Dee, and I like, you know, Lucy's my 22nd character I've created. But when I got into doing a lot of magic, I mostly performed a lot of like Chicago style close up, a lot of really intimate magic. And that's what people really liked about what I did. But it felt like I was being underutilized. And so I had this, you know, this thing that I'd wanted to do for so long. And it, you know, I love Eartha Kitt and Mae West and Zsa Zsa Gabor and all these like incredible old Hollywood women who were like devastatingly witty, like, you know, Dorothy Parker, like just these like incredible one-liners. And I've always watched those old-timey movies like Bringing Up Baby and What a Way to Go, and like, you know, that has influenced almost everything I've ever done. And
I do have one question. This is an actress I knew and your look was similar, and I wondered, do you know the name Edie Adams? Was she at all?
Yes, of course.
Was she an influence on you?
Edie was something I discovered after Lucy was created. So I think there was some like Edie tweaks, but she wasn't part of like the initial creation.
I produced a show once with Edie in it, and I had a party at my home, and Edie brought this video of her old Muriel cigar commercials. And so she told me to secretly run it. So I put the videotape in, people watched it. And then she sort of looked and went, "Oh my God, where did you get that?" And I'm like, "You brought it. What are you talking about?" But anyway.
Oh my God. That is so great. She was so cool. And like, you know, Joan Rivers, even like anyway, so many influences of these like this biting wit. And I was a street performer for a long time, so I have like the improv skills, and I could like bring them up. In Calgary, we have Loose Moose Theater, which is like our version of Second City, and it's saturated through the culture. Like if you are a performer in Calgary, you are an improviser. It's expected.
Well, I just want to come to you because as you talk about all those different things, and look, you've shared stages with Stevie Wonder and Celine Dion. I mean, I can't even imagine that. So wait. Where do you most come alive? Is it a situation like this where this audience, I mean, I don't know, the situation is what it is, where we surround you, we're with you for a couple of hours, or would you say, well, it's Stevie Wonder, I would go over there? I mean, well.
I come most alive in a live setting where I can connect with the audience. Like that's, you, for me, it's so obvious that, you know, because I'm also a recording artist, so I do things in studio, I record in studio. It is when I'm in the midst of a live audience that can feel that I can feel their energy and they can feel mine and sense mine, and we can feed off of one another. That is where I come alive, and it doesn't matter who's in the room. Like there's an entirely different spirit or energy that takes over me when it's time for me to do what it is that I do. Like off stage, I'm very much so chill. I can be a little silly sometimes, but I'm chilled out. When it's time to get, you know, to get into what it is that I do, there's a beast that's just, you know, that becomes very dominant at that point. And so, like, yeah, so this kind of space right here, where it is such an intimate audience, where you can just about touch everyone who's there to watch you. Yeah, I think that is, you know, I've actually had to step into a different pair of shoes for this, but very much so, you know, the same. I've had to, it's taken.
What does that mean? What do you mean step into a different pair of shoes?
Because it's, what I had to do was bring who I am to a character that already sort of existed. You know, Madam Z, this character exists in each like season of Teatro Zanzani. But then there's me coming in. My Madam Zanzani is not Madam Z, it's Madame Zanzani, dog. And there's an entirely different element that I pulled from within me to bring that to the character. Like, I have an understudy that steps in on Saturdays, that she's an entirely different Madam Z, a phenomenal in her own right, and does what she's a good friend of mine, actually, Tina Jenkins Crawley, who does the Saturday matinees. And she's beautiful within her character and space. It's an entirely different character. Huh. So I've had to step into the shoe. I've had to pull from a real space within me to bring me to the character of Madame Zanzani. And now that it's not Madame Z for me, it's Madame, darling. It's just like one of those.
And by the way, is she understudy, or is it just double cast?
No, you know what? I would say more so of double cast. At this point, I would say more so double cast. It of course, she was brought in at the point that I couldn't oblige with the Saturday afternoons. But I think she's very much, I would say, double cast, because it's her own thing. It's her own thing. When she had to step away and go to Brazil, I stepped in for her. So like, it's like sort of a team effort. She's been such a team player and such a gift to me in this space. Like, you know, as it relates to what I need as an art, when we came in to for creation, it was like Tina was she's like my right hand man. If it was anything I needed, she was taking notes for me, and I would take notes for her. It's like a team. It's just been totally a team effort the entire time. So more so than understudy, I would say double cast.
And Carissa, for you, if you're missing something like that, do like Shin Lim or Penn and Teller fill in for you?
Yeah, definitely. Copperfield. I mean, I don't think anyone could do it as well as Copperfield could. So, no, I'm not allowed to get sick. That's the rule. So, that's fine. Yeah, we're excited to have Tina back.
No, I shouldn't ask, but I had to. But it does happen. If that did happen, what would there just not be the magician that night? Your role wouldn't be there?
There is a contingency for everything. So, like, a little while ago when Uzi got sick, we have a contingency. And, like, the show just sort of, you know, you have to for 6 months. We're 6 months run. You can't expect people won't get sick for 6 months. So we have plans for everything. I think the plan for me is, like, the show would be a little shorter is probably my guess, because I do probably – I think I do 45. Between the four pieces is 45 minutes.
But if the hair lady gets sick, you can step in.
Exactly. See, that's that. I just under the wig, I'll just have the little Teletubby bun ready to go. Perfect.
I love it. Have you got? And of course, and Saraya, you're from Chicago, whatever. But Chris, as you kind of, and I know you've been here, but are there things you're loving to do? I mean, you're next door to Garrett's Popcorn. I mean, are there things you just need to do while you're here in Chicago?
The Riverwalk. The Riverwalk here, like when I was working for the Rhapsody, I was up in Rogers Park. When you work for Chicago Magic Lounge, you're over there in Boys Town. Now we're in the Loop. Like they put us up in the Loop. We're working in the Loop. I walk to work every day. The Riverwalk is the most incredible thing. I mean, like, even now it's freezing cold and you cannot get me away from that thing. And I also did the architecture boat tour.
Oh, like, that's the best. Have you done that, Saraya? You live here. Have you done the architecture boat tour?
I have not.
Because you live here.
Chicago native. I think that we miss so many things because it's not as much of a gem to us as it is to people who come here who do not belong here. So
right.
Like,
we don't need to go see the bean. We know it's there.
Yes.
I get that. I'm just so glad, at least, Chris, you get time to sort of enjoy those things and whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're right, by the way, up at Rhapsody, you got JB Alberto's pizza right next door to you. So that,
so good.
That kept you going every night.
I think I lived off that pizza for 6 weeks. I really do. I think I ate it every single day.
Actually,
and then the pasta they do.
Sandwich, yes. unbelievable. See, Soraya, we got to bring Soraya around one evening and do some other things with her.
Yes, you're going to have to introduce me to my city because obviously I have been under a rock here.
Yeah, the Canadian Chicago tour.
Soraya, what's your favorite pizza? At least give us that one.
You know what? Recently, Luminati's.
Yes, that's fine.
Really, when it comes to, Giordano's has always been the thing that has been the highlight of Chicago pizza, right? And then you have the Italian Fiesta. And then you have Beggar's Pizza, right? But then I tasted Luminati's through an organization I was working with. And honey, I was like, okay. So they put the whole foot into the recipe for this pizza. And they put the whole front, the whole kitchen sink onto the pizza if you want them to. So like it's, I think that would be the one that I would go for.
It's the best. And Chris, I assume you've had Luminati's.
Oh, yeah, I've had everything. I'm very much like, because I travel a lot, I'm the exact person when I get to city, people are like, we got to take this lady everywhere. I've got everything because I'm really enjoy things. People like watching me enjoy things.
I love it. Almost out of time, but I want to ask you, this show is called Love, Chaos, and Dinner. Does that mean we should get ready for a new show at some point in time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. We've got 3 more months here. And then it's like every Zanzani is there going to be a whole new creation process and we're going to start over and tell a different story.
So you might stay with the show. You might go to another location.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a show in Seattle. We also have other projects that we have to do. And also Norm really thinks it's very important that like it's always being refreshed, right? I mean, Chandra Zanzani is in its 25th anniversary and the show feels just as modern as if it was invented yesterday, but with a sense of history.
And I hope it plays here for years to come. Soraya and Carissa, thank you for being with me. People can get tickets at Zanzani.com/Chicago. It's an experience you got to take out of town or so, and it's an experience you got to have if you live here, unlike Soraya and me who do nothing that's in the city because we live here. But this is something that I do because it's that great.
Well, I will say that I have started to explore a little bit with I can say I've been bitten by the circus bug because I've been training in aerial art myself. And I do that right here in our hometown.
And Chicago, I can't wait to see it.
Chicago Aerial Arts. Yep. So I've been exploring in that area.
Thank you for being with me. I appreciate it. Everybody needs to go see Teatro Zanzani. Thank you.